Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Don't let the government tell you what's sin or not sin. You let God tell you what's sin. Don't let social media tell you what's sin or not sin. And by all means, don't let Miley Cyrus tell you what's sin and not sin. In other words, don't let celebrities tell you what's sin and what's not sin. You let God's word, because the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God abides forever. Forever.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero. We live in a time when it can be hard to tell right from wrong. The lines of morality are blurred in gradients and grayscales. What was wrong yesterday is perfectly acceptable today. Well, Pastor Wayne will show us that God's Word sets a standard that does not bend with every passing breeze. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, Subtle Deceptions.
But you see, the word Jacob actually means sneaky. And Jacob would not pass up an opportunity to take advantage of his brother. So he said, you know, we're twins, right? Yeah. And you're just like a minute older than I am. Yeah. So I tell you what, give me your birthright, because we're twins. I mean, like, we're the same, right? So you got the birthright, but give it to me. See, in those days, birthrights were very important. If you had the birthright, it meant that you would have a double portion of everything that would be inherited. Everybody else would get one part, you get two. And you would get always the favored treatment. And you would always get free upgrades to first class. So this was the birthright. So Jacob said, trade me your birthright and I'll give you this food. Esau says, I'm starving. What good is my birthright when I'm going to die? Well, of course he's not going to die. So he says, what good is my birthright to me? Yeah, all right, Dad, take it. Who cares? Just give me that. Now, after having eaten this, and he was a bit satisfied, he realized what he had done. And he thought, no way. He tries to get it back from his brother, but if you read in Hebrews 12, it says, even though he tried to seek to regain his birthright, he did not receive it, even though he sought it with tears. In other words, he said, Jacob, I can't do this. You promise. You have to go by your word. You don't want to be a man without integrity. We made a fair deal. Well, just give it. No, it's mine. No, I'm keeping it. And Esau got so infuriated that his brother would not relent, he plotted to murder his brother, because the only way to get his birthright back is to not have a twin brother. So he decides, I'm going to kill him. And when he made that poor decision at this opportune moment, that moment had his future attached to it. And when he made a poor decision, it changed his life forever. Why? Let me tell you something else that causes opportune moments to arrive and materialize, and the subtle deceptions just kind of get sucked in like a vacuum. And that is when you let your present appetite hold you hostage and make a decision for you that you know isn't right, but you do it anyway. Your appetite. When your appetite becomes stronger than anything else, the book of Proverbs says, if you're a man of great appetites, put a knife, as it were, to your throat. Stop, don't do it. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. What is he saying? He's saying, you're going to mess up your mind. You're going to think you have no consequences because it's not that big of a deal. It won't impact me. Your appetite's going to hold you hostage, and you're going to make some decisions that give you temporary comfort. Yeah, but I'm famished. It's better to have a temporary discomfort than suffer a lifetime without the inheritance that you should have. I wonder how many of us have forfeited portions of our birthright because we've let our appetites make decisions for us. I wonder. You say, what's your birthright? Your birthright is everything God planned for you from the beginning of time. Everything that God has in store for you, everything that God imagined for you, which would be your future, your legacy, your testimony, your faith story, the legacy that you'll leave to others who have been watching your life. Are you going to help them to find Christ, or will you cause them a stumbling block because of the decisions we made in opportune moments? You see, not all decisions have the same weight to it. There's some decisions that have your eternity, your legacy, your testimony attached to it, and there's a bunch of people watching. Now, we all have appetites. But in the heat of the moment, you're going to have every voice say, it's okay, go for it. It doesn't impact you. It's not that big of a deal. Don't you dare listen to those lies, because everything does depend on it. Opportune moments. The devil waits for those, because that's when he lays an onslaught of subtle deceptions on you, because if you make the wrong decisions, instead of giving you a future, he can take it away. But that's why the Lord said of Peter, Simon, Simon, in Luke 22, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. This is going to be an opportune moment. I prayed for you that your faith not fail. You can do it. And once you've turned and understand the power of the Spirit, strengthen your brothers. Your legacy will leave a trail for others to follow. It's a big moment, a big moment. But every voice is going to say, go for it. Because you see, the second step to subtle deception, the first is just think about it. Consider. You don't have to buy now. Just consider it. Think about it. But the second thing is not only consider. The devil comes in to, here it is, camouflage the consequences. Camouflage the consequences. That's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Everybody does it. It's not that big of a thing. And look at that. It's no problem. No problem. There's no consequences. It's not going to do me any good. You can have it. I wonder how many times we forfeited some of our birthright because we gave into these things during opportune moments. We have allowed our appetite. Don't believe the lies when people say it's not going to matter that much. Well, it did, because when he tried to get it back, he couldn't. Well, he's so infuriated that he plots to kill his brother. And he starts to get ready to do it. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you going to be a Joseph and do the right thing rather than the most comfortable thing? Or will you be an Esau and compromise? Take the easy way out. Let your appetite make the decision for you. You have a choice to make. You say, Wayne, what if I've already kind of messed up? Here's some good news. Are you ready? Here's the good news. It's never too late, because of Jesus, to redeem your birthright. It's never too late. You see, because Jesus died on the cross, he gave us a second chance. How many of you are glad for the cross? He gives us a second chance. So what do? Here it is. Repent and return often. Repent and return often. Well, what if I messed up 5 times and you repent 5 times? Well, I messed up so many times, God's not going to forgive me. Oh, sure he will. Don't believe that lie that he won't. Well, how many times will he forgive me? 70 times 7. In other words, God's going to forgive you again and again to keep your heart sensitive to his ways. Because you know one of the worst things is? The worst things is, well, I've just messed up so many times. No use trying to ask God for forgiveness. I'll just keep going. By the way, it's not even that bad because everybody's doing it. And you know, by the way, it's not really sin. It's the way we live now. And you know, it's not evil. It's our society. In fact, they passed the law that it's cool now. And so now we switch it from sin to cool. Let me tell you, the worst evil, the greatest evil of all, is when evil is no longer evil. That's why it's important to repent often. Repent. Why? Because it keeps your heart in tune with what's right and what is wrong, determined by what it is written. The Bible says this in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. But before forgiveness happens, it says, if we what? Yeah, what if I don't confess my sin? What if I say it's not sin? Is there forgiveness for it? Yeah, it's not sin that will kill God's people. It's unresolved sin. Now, what I'm about to say might shock some of you, but I need you to listen. If you miss everything else, I want you to catch this. Every sin is forgivable because of the cross. Well, what if you're a murderer? Well, Moses was, and so was the Apostle Paul when his name was Saul. But what if you messed up like 10 times? That's forgivable. Every sin is forgivable. Every sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He died for how many sins? He died for all sins. You got it. Okay. Now watch this. But the Bible talks about an unforgivable sin. An unforgivable sin that will not be forgiven on earth or in heaven. What? Yeah. It's called different things, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But basically, here it is. It's called the unforgivable sin. Now, wait a minute. You just said all sins are forgivable. Yes, listen carefully. But there is an unforgivable sin that'll mess up your eternity. The only unforgivable sin is the sin you refuse to allow God to forgive because you don't ask Him to. In fact, not only do I not ask God for forgiveness, I tenaciously hang on to it and start to defend it. Then even though it is written as sin, I don't think it's sin, so I don't need your forgiveness. So what happens? I carry around sin that's an unforgivable sin because I don't think it's sin. Now listen very carefully. Don't ever let people or society tell you what is sin or not sin. You let it is written tell you. Isn't that right? Don't let the government tell you what's sin or not sin. You let God tell you what's sin. Don't let social media tell you what's sin or not sin. And by all means, don't let Miley Cyrus tell you what's sin and not sin. Don't let Lady Gaga tell you what's sin or not sin. In other words, don't let celebrities tell you what's sin and what's not sin. You let God's word, because the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God abides forever. Forever. You're not going to stand before President Obama one day. You're not going to stand before the U.S. government one day. You're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and what He says goes. Yeah, but it wasn't illegal. Who cares? You see, don't let the state law tell you what's sin or not sin. You're not going to stand before the state law one day. And don't let the majority tell you what's sin or not sin. By the way, there's this humor story of Abraham Lincoln. He was trying to eradicate slavery, and there was this one man that was unpersuadable. Everybody wants to have slaves. No, 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 no. No, yeah, it's a majority. No, no, no. And he just couldn't persuade this guy. So finally he said, stop, stop, stop. Answer me this one question. The guy says, what? He says, how many legs does a cow have? The guy says, what? No, just answer it. How many legs does a cow have? Four. All right. The guy said, four. He said, okay. Let's say that the tail is a leg as well. Now, how many legs does a cow have? That's where you're wrong. Just because people say it's a leg, it doesn't make it a leg. It's what God created is what it is, not what people say it is. You get that? But yet we do that all the time. The majority says it's a leg. So it's a leg, isn't it? It's a tale. You see, don't let the majority tell you what sin is. That's why I come back to what Jesus did in his opportune moment. And he said, it is written. That's why I say, this is my Bible, the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do. For I am a citizen of heaven. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. So don't let the devil camouflage consequences. Otherwise, we'll be like Proverbs 30 and verse 20, and it says this, it'll come up on the screen, but this is the way of an adulterous woman or an adulterous man. It says this, he or she eats and wipes their mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. See, the scripture even says this is going to happen in areas of immorality. And people will say, what's wrong with that? It's definitely wrong. Be careful, because the devil's going to camouflage consequences so your appetite will get you to trade in your birthright. Well, let me bring it all to a close and wrap it up into a neat bow. Well, Jacob, who's now being chased by Esau, hunted down, he goes to a faraway country to live with his uncle Laban. There he meets Rachel and Leah, and they have children. Now, God blesses Jacob so much that his flocks get so big that the land cannot sustain the amount of flocks that he has in the tens of thousands. Just huge. It's a business. Well, one of the things that Jacob yearns to do is to go back home. One problem, in order to get home to Canaan, he has to go through his brother's property called Edom. And if he goes through, the wound that may still be open might cause his brother to finally say, that's where you are, and end his life, so that his brother Esau could get back the birthright that was stolen from him. Jacob so wants to go home, though, he gathers his flock, and he starts moving forward, knowing that he's going to be confronted by his brother Esau. So fearfully, but yet moving forward, he takes his flocks. And then he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send hundreds of my flock in ahead, about a quarter mile ahead of me. This is going to be a gift to my brother, because I know he's going to see us coming through. And so when they ask, who are you? Oh, by the way, this is a gift for Esau. Kind of like a peace treaty. So he sends a whole bunch, like 500, 600, 800 flocks up ahead. And then he's going to follow. Well, he gets into Edom and he looks and he sees his brother coming down the hill. Problem, his brother has 400 warriors with him. Oh no, he thinks, I am roadkill. I am history. I am done. So this is what he does. He quickly separates his family. He takes his servants, puts them in front. Takes Leah, one of his wives, and her children, puts them second. And then Rachel last, the one that he loves. That was his kind of his prized wife. Puts her in the back. And he says, in case my brother attacks, you guys can escape. Well, he runs up to the front and bows down, waiting probably for a beheading. Now, his brother comes with 400 warriors. His brother sees that that's my brother Jacob. He starts making a beeline to Jacob. And I could just see Jacob shaking, knowing that his life is done. His family's on one side, watching all of this. Esau comes in it, at an opportune moment, he could have taken his revenge, could have taken out his knife and thrust it into the torso, thus completely eliminating the competition for the birthright. And it would return to him. But instead, when he noticed that it was his brother, he runs, listen to this, he runs to Jacob, throws his arms around him, hugs him, and weeps. All is forgiven. You're my brother. I could just feel Jacob, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And his family, oh, praise the Lord. Esau turns around and says, who are all these people? Esau says, it's my family. Now, in the third group, watching all of this drama unfold, was a little boy. His name, Joseph. See, Jacob had 12 sons. At this time, he had about 11. Joseph was one of them. Benjamin had not been born yet. And Joseph is watching this opportune moment where his uncle Esau should be killing his father, but instead watches Esau forgive his father. For by this time, he has heard the stories of how his father stole the birthright from Uncle Esau. It's a known story by this time. But he watches his uncle in this opportune moment win. Now remember I said there's some decisions you and I make during opportune moments that have your destiny tied to it and your legacy tied to it? I want you now to fast forward the tape with me 20 more years. Because 20 years had passed when he went to Laban's house and now this happened. Fast forward 20 more years. Go back to where we started. Joseph is sold into Egypt, wins over Potiphar's wife, he is given the throne now. He's the second most powerful man in the known world. He's a pharaoh. A famine takes place. Joseph's own brothers come down from Canaan. Remember the story? Looking for food because they're hungry. Joseph recognizes them. It is now an opportune moment. He's pharaoh. He can take them out with one machete. He uses his trickery to get all of his brothers in. Learned that from his dad. Now all of his brothers are before him. And it's an opportune moment. He's Pharaoh. He can do anything he wants to. Do you remember what happens? He gets off the throne. And he puts his arms around them and weeps. I am Joseph, your brother. All is forgiven. I look at that and I think, where did he learn that from? Uncle Esau. You see, in those opportune moments, it holds your legacy, your testimony, the pathway that you would leave for others who are watching you. And when Joseph gave forgiveness to those brothers, he didn't just save their lives, he saved the life of a whole nation called Israel. Because they then move into the land of Goshen. Some years later, they go back into something called the Exodus and they form the nation of Israel. Rewind the tape, it goes back to a time where in an opportune moment, a young man won. Not only with Potiphar's wife, but in this time where he could have slain them all. What you do in those moments, those opportune moments, have your eternity hooked to it, your legacies hooked to it, your testimony. And can I encourage you? It will be your turn. And it might happen today. It might happen tomorrow. But would you let God show you this is an opportune moment? And when you hit opportune moments, two people will be waiting for you. Number one, the devil with subtle deceptions. Number two, Jesus with the power of the Spirit. Choose wisely. I don't know what you'll choose, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Subtle Deceptions by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne taught us from the lives of Jesus and Joseph. It is important to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so we will have strength to make right decisions when temptations come knocking. God bless you and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited space is available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.